On this episode of Reverend Babble, we are back in the studio, back over in Viva Marsh, Vegas. We've got a good Devo lined up for today. Cody's got a Devo about how to handle what life throws at us sometimes. Also in sports, NBA playoffs, the last week of the Major League Baseball regular season, I recap my awesome day and night at Bristol Motor Speedway, and we're switching up how we make NFL picks from here on out for a little bit more simple and more competitive way of making some picks. Y'all stick around. Let's babble. What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to episode number 19 of the Reverend Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly. I'm back.
And hey, this is Neil Huntley. Yeah, Cody is back. Hey, Cody, what's up, man?
It ain't too awful much, man. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be not sick and doing the podcast this time because I'm pretty sure whenever you listened to me in the last episode, I sounded like I had a mouthful of food and I was in a giant container or something.
Yeah, you definitely sound like you were quarantining yourself.
Yes, for sure.
But thankfully, you know, no COVID or anything that.
Just a regular cold and stuff like that. It wasn't a big deal.
Well, besides of being sick and getting over being sick, what's new with you, man?
Well, as I mentioned very briefly in the last episode, I got officially accepted by two colleges that I sent in applications for. Montreat College in Montreat, obviously, and then North Greenville University.
North Greenville, yeah.
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I managed to get the phone call by both of those colleges, and I got accepted by them. So now I just got to get started on the choosing the school and get started on the process of actually transferring and all that.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah, I heard you say that when I was compiling all of our clips together for last week's episode.
Yeah.
And that was awesome, man. So yeah. Congratulations on that for sure.
Oh, well, thank you.
When's the deadline that you have to make a decision by?
Well, they obviously want me to send in the enrollment fee as soon as possible. So probably here within the next couple of days, I'll get ready to send that in because I'm pretty sure I'm going to commit to North Greenville University because as far as the major I'm looking for, they kind of have more of what I'm looking forward to Montreat does. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to be going with them. So probably here within the next week or two, I'm going to be sending in that enrollment fee once that option becomes available and I'll get that process started.
To North Greenville.
Yes.
Awesome. I've been to North Greenville's campus. It's a beautiful campus.
And oh, I know.
It's in the mountains of South Carolina. Yes, there are mountains in South Carolina.
Yeah,
people
I know.
Don't think about it.
Shocker.
But it's beautiful. You're not too far from Greenville.
No.
It's a good little ride. There's a town called Traveler's Rest.
Traveler's Rest. It's probably really about nice. 15 minutes from there. So
yeah, so you're in a good little spot. It's a lot like Wingate in the mountains, which is it's really cool. And
yeah, pretty much,
good Christian background at that school.
Yes.
They still hold pretty good true to their Christian background. You know, a lot of schools around here were founded on those foundations and kind of, you know, slid away slowly but surely. But
right.
They have held strong to that. So that's good. That's encouraging to hear, man. I'm excited for you.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I really do appreciate that, man. That means a lot for sure. Plus two, they're also a Division II school, and so is Wingate. So every once in a while, we might be playing some games. So what would be kind of ironic is, you know, like since I've worked with Wingate the last 4 years, and I go to that school, and then whenever they'll be coming to Greenville, or if Greenville goes to them, I'll definitely be watching those games, and I'll probably get, you know, like complained about and fussed at by the Wingate people that I'm attending one of their one of the teams that they play schools, but you know that'll be all in good fun.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you'll have to get me a Crusader baseball hat because
their
logo's sweet. I love their logo.
Oh, same here, man. For sure, it looks really sweet. For sure. All right, man. So what's new with you?
Well, I'll go ahead and recap my weekend at Bristol, man.
Yeah,
since
go ahead.
I got plenty of stuff to talk about NASCAR in the sports section, and I will get that to a little bit. But man, what an awesome day Saturday going up to Bristol. I drove to my buddy James' house, who lives over in the Belmont, Mount Holly, Gastonia. You know, all those towns are really sandwiched together.
They're really close together.
They're really close together. Got to his house a little bit before 2, and we bounced and got on the road immediately from there. It's about a 2 hour and 45 minute ride up the mountain to Bristol from there. So about 3.5 hours from my house in Wingate.
Right.
And it was a beautiful day. So it was a great drive. We had a great time, you know, talking about what we hope to see at the race here and there. And, you know, when you go to places like Charlotte Motor Speedway, you go through a lot of, you know, you go through town. You see a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff around the racetrack.
Oh, right, right.
On our way up to Bristol, once we got through Morganton and some other little mountain towns at the Tennessee line, it was just woods.
Right, it's like nothing.
Mountains and just really, really pretty. It's almost like we're on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And all of a sudden, bam, there's Bristol. Like, it's,
right.
I mean, it's huge. It's ginormous. It was almost intimidating just to see from the road of how big and how, you know, all the history that's in that racetrack.
Right.
It's really cool. We went and had some dinner in the town of Bristol, which sits right on the Virginia and Tennessee line. I kept joking about how we parked in Virginia and walked all the way to Tennessee for supper. But we did. There's a state line runs right through the main street of downtown Bristol. But we got back about an hour and a half before Green Flag and just took it all in, and
nice.
Man, that we couldn't have been in a better seat. I sent you a picture where we were sitting. We were sitting right in the middle of turn three and turn four, as high up as you could sit, which, you know, at a lot of sporting events, you don't want to sit really high because you can't see much of the action.
Right, because you can't see anything in most, like, I mean, well, like pretty much in any other sport, like football or baseball or basketball, you don't want to be up high because you can't see anything.
Right.
But in a race like that, I'm sure that probably helps see, like, the whole picture a lot better.
Exactly. I mean, we could not have picked a better seat, which we didn't even pick our seat. We paid a flat rate of a certain area at the racetrack because Bristol sold as many tickets as they could sell, and then they had a computer system kind of socially distance everybody's seats from each other.
Right.
So there probably wasn't anybody within 10 feet of us. There was a few people here and there, like the next row down, but, I mean, it was spaced out just fine. But we just got to look at the draw and had some amazing seats and could see every single bit of the action.
Right, yeah.
It was awesome. Got cold there at the end. I wore shorts.
I bet so. I bet it got pretty cold there that night.
Yeah, I had a long sleeve tee on, but about 10 laps left, I was standing up watching Kevin Harvick come around and win the race, and my legs were just shivering, man. it was such an awesome experience. And to be there with 30,000 people, this was the biggest gathering since COVID. So of 2020 since COVID happened, this was the biggest gathering in the country since that happened. And to be part of that and to see everybody, you know, I mean, there were not everybody had masks on walking around, but a lot of people did.
A lot
of people respected each other's space, and to see it done so well, it was really encouraging to see. And it was just fun to be in that place, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, that place was only at 25% capacity and they had 30,000 people there. That just shows you how many people they could fit in that place.
Right.
And it's why they had the world's largest football game there a few years ago when Virginia Tech and Tennessee played each other there too. But man, that was a great weekend. I was very tired Sunday morning.
I bet so.
I was slumped over on the couch for a good bit of while watching football on Sunday, but it was a great time. I want to go back for sure.
That's pretty awesome, man. I'm really glad you got to go down there and experience that and just have fun enjoying something that you like to enjoy live in person. Unlike me, I can't watch any baseball live.
Yeah, it was a great time for sure. But that's all I got for this opening part of the show. We got a good Devo coming up, like I said. Cody's taking the reins for the Devo this go around.
Oh, boy.
So stick around. Let's talk about Jesus for a little bit. Hey y'all, it's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what, just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today, and just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at reverendbabble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, at reverendbabble on Instagram, keeping it simple, and just search Reverend Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play Devo portion of the show. And it's like we've said in previous episodes, and we've said it in previous episode, we're going to say in this episode, and we're going to keep on saying it because that's how we do things around here. We love talking about sports. Me and Neil both love sports. Both of us are really happy that we can talk about live sports again.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But this is first and foremost a Christian podcast, and we want to talk about the different experiences that we've had with our faith and with our Christian walk, and we want to share them with y'all. And just to try to give you guys encouragement, maybe in a time where it's kind of hard to find some encouragement.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, given circumstances.
You turn on TV, if you're not watching sports, you're seeing something that's just negative or sad or
right.
Things that are meant to, you know, keep you down. And, you know, it's good to be informed about stuff, but when it's just beat across your head every single day, it gets aggravating.
Oh, for sure.
So we just use at least, you know, 10, 15 minutes of our weekly show to just try to encourage you a little bit. And today Cody's got a topic that he wants to talk about how to handle these things that life can throw at us sometimes, or what he said, how to carry these loads around with us that,
yes,
you know, sometimes life just seems to stack up on top of us. So
for sure,
Cody, take it away, man.
All right. So Neil, I'm going to change it up this time, and I'm going to actually start us off with a question. Like,
okay.
I'll start us off with a question like
awesome.
You do sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hit me with it, man. What you got?
All right. So, well, like, obviously, this is a question that I'm sure you've heard before, but is there something in your life that you've had to carry, or that you are currently carrying in your life, that you've asked God and pleaded with God to just take that away from you because it adds a lot of stress, or just, you know, adds a lot of stress to your life, or just adds pressure, and it just makes you feel like you got all this weight on top of you while you're trying to live your life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
oh, yeah.
And I think everybody can relate to that a lot. I mean, I'm constantly thinking about, am I doing what's best for my family right now?
Right.
And my family being my wife and my 18-month-old son, Graham. You know, and what I'm doing in life, is it not only benefiting me, but is it benefiting them, you know?
Right.
So I'm constantly thinking about that, and I used to almost worry about that. So I can't say I worry about it as much, but it is on my mind a lot. Okay, is this decision that I'm making, is this thing that I'm, that's part of my daily routine, is this beneficial for my family? So
right.
I carry that around a lot,
right,
just for an example.
Right. Oh, right, for sure. And it's like those examples of, like you said, maybe not so much worry, but just the thought coming across your mind, and just kind of maybe a little bit of that stress or that pressure that you're feeling at, you know, like of something that might happen or something that actually is happening to you, you know, that's not a good thing that's, you know, that's going on in your life, and you're kind of walking through life every day kind of feeling that you're just being weighed down by the pressure and the things of life.
I will say it cranked up to a worry when COVID struck
right
earlier this year. When that hit around March, it did crank up to a worry. Am I doing what's best for my family? Am I doing my work? Is going to work safe for my family? Is going to the grocery store safe? Will it be safe in a few more months? I don't know. So that did turn into a worry, but I had to quickly, you know, jump into scripture, jump into prayer, and figure out, you know what? I'm doing my best. I'm taking all the precautions. I'm wearing a mask when I'm asked to, and I'm washing my hands. And, you know, if I'm doing all that I can do and have faith on it at the same time, I mean, I can't worry if I get it or somebody around me gets it, you know, because I'm doing all that I can do, and there's no sense in worrying about it at that point.
Oh, for sure. And that's actually kind of funny, the way you kind of brought that up, because that's exactly what we're about to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is basically Paul kind of describing how he was feeling when he was trying to go about and doing God's will for his life, and he just felt that he had something going on in his life that was, you know, a burden that was loaded on him as he was trying to go out and spread God's word to the people that God had called him to do. So, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Can you read that, please?
Yeah, and I love this scripture. This is talking about the thorn in the flesh, and I've used this with the students at church, and it's completely relatable to every single human being on earth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it starts in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. I mean, like, even just going back and reading it now, I mean, obviously I read it before we went into this, but just kind of hearing it, you know, read again out loud, this kind of really adds a lot more weight to it, you know, and it just makes you feel really good about that. And like, obviously, you know, and obviously it's a really hard thing to do, just saying, you know, like, I got this thorn in my flesh, you know, which can be applied to today's terms. It's just, I got a lot of things that
I got a lot on me right now.
Right. For sure. And it's like, there are a lot of different kinds of loads and burdens that we carry. I mean, it's like sometimes those loads we bring on ourselves, is, you know, from messing up and doing stuff like that. But obviously there are other loads that we can't control. And then some of them are a result of what someone else did and it affects us. And so we feel bad about that. But then there are others that are given to us either temporary or for the rest of our lives that kind of, that are good or bad, but God works, you know, that God works to those for good, which obviously he works all of them for good, but whichever kind of load that may be, we obviously want to be useful for God, you know, like as Christians, we should strive to be what God wants us to be and what he's called us to do in our, what he's called us to do in our lives. But when we have these loads sometimes that we carry, whether we force them on ourselves or they just come about, you just kind of feel like, well, if I didn't have this load, I could do more. And like, sometimes we can pray to God and just say, well, God, if you were to take this away from me, then I can go out and do this for you and this for you and this for you. And kind of what Paul had to learn in these verses, and he's trying to explain, is that that thorn in his flesh kept on bothering him, and he kept praying to God to take it away, and he kept pleading with God, because, you know, like in verses 7 and 8, Paul's kind of explaining, I had it, and I kept talking to God, saying, you know, could you take this away from me? But God really didn't take that thorn away from him. And obviously that's not always the case, you know, because some loads are temporary and they'll go away eventually, but some are going to last a long time, if not the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what I take out of this scripture is, you know, God saying, you know, or yeah, God saying, I could easily take this from you.
Right.
But my grace that I've given to you is sufficient enough for you to overcome that thorn in your side.
Right, absolutely. And it's like, it's a matter of getting to that point, because obviously when we go through something tough, you know, when obviously we as Christians go through something tough, we kind of, you know, we'll kind of look at God and be like, okay, I'm not really liking this, and we kind of develop a little bit of a bitterness, a little bit of resentment towards God, because it's like, you know, we kind of develop that towards God because we don't think we can be what he wants us to be fully through that. But in fact, it's the opposite. It's the fact that once we realize that we can cast our loads and our burdens on him, even though they may affect us in ways that we don't like and don't expect. Like, obviously, I mean, like, obviously for me, like, I'm talking right now, and if you're listening to me live in the studio, I'm having a hard time talking sometimes, and sometimes you may not hear this as much on the podcast, you know, because of editing and this, that, and the other. But, you know, like, sometimes, whether it's this podcast or just life in general, I have a hard time talking sometimes. And obviously, that's something I wish would go away, because, I mean, obviously, I can see it's being used for good, yeah. And I've seen some of that, but that doesn't mean I like it or enjoy it.
Sure.
At, you know, that much, but it makes it more bearable that I knowing that it can be and is being used for God's glory in advance. And once we realize that we can just cast that burden to him and just let him use us despite that, we realize that we can be used more fully with the load sometimes than we may otherwise not be if we didn't have it. Because it's like, You know, in one other scripture, Paul says he, you know, well, like one other thing Paul says is that he had these temptations and these thorns in his flesh to keep him from thinking of himself too highly and kind of making himself feel pumped up and really good about himself.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you know, it's like, wow, I'm Paul. I'm one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. I'm going to all these places and, you know, talking about Jesus to all these people and all of them are getting saved and all this stuff. And this is all because of me going and talking to these people. You know, it's like he could have really built himself up.
If he didn't have that.
Right. I mean, but the fact that he had that kind of kept his, you know, kept his goals in perspective of I'm doing the things I'm doing because God's allowing me to do it despite my circumstances.
Exactly.
And it's like once Paul saw that and once Paul realized that he could just cast his burdens to God, he realized that. And obviously there's a couple other verses in scripture that kind of describe this, like in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. I'm sure you've heard these verses before a lot too, as well as I have. It says, come to me, all of you who labor and... Oh, and by the way, this is Jesus talking.
It's in red, right?
Yes. Yes, it's in red. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then there's another passage in Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, and it says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you, and he shall never permit in righteousness to be moved. So basically what that's saying is that we cast our burdens on God. It doesn't say, neither does scriptures, that he takes those away, even though, you know, like even though depending on circumstances, you know, some of them might go away, but some of them might not. So basically it's like whether or not this load that you're carrying goes away, God will be with you in it and through it till the end, whether you see the end of it or not. God's with you through the whole thing. And I heard someone bring up this question whenever I was thinking about this topic, and it's, you know, like someone was talking about this and they asked, have you ever been in a situation where you were you in the middle of something tough and God wasn't in the middle of it through you? Because God sees everything that you're going through.
I love that.
So it's not like he doesn't, I mean, like, basically, it's not like God sees it and he's just like, whatever, you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. You know, it's like, because he's there with us through the whole time, and we can always lean on him, as those verses said, because he's always there with us despite our circumstances and despite those lows that we might carry. And that's a great comfort that we can take in, knowing that whatever loads we may have throughout our life, whether they're temporary or long-lasting, you know, like you were saying, like, you know, like the worries that can come up and the worries that did come up for you, especially once COVID kind of became more massive and more talked about, those worries you had about, you know, Amber and Graham and just providing for your family and just the world functioning as a whole, you know. And I'm not saying those feelings have necessarily gone away.
Right.
But you're more comfortable and you're in a more comfortable place with that compared to March.
Exactly. Yeah. The peace that God gave me when I, you know, called out to him and just basically told, even though he already knew, told him, this is freaking me out, you know? And
right.
I mean, I knew I wasn't the only one on the prayer line that day saying, hey God, I'm scared, you know? side note, I wasn't scared enough to the point to where I was buying like 45 rolls of toilet paper and things like that. But I mean, I bought some canned goods that I wouldn't normally buy just in case. I mean, I didn't know they were going to shut the grocery store down or not.
Right.
Things
right.
like that.
Oh, exactly.
You didn't know. But, all of a sudden I just had peace that, you know, it's good to be mindful about looking out for your family, but there's no need to worry about it, you know. You know, he says in Scripture, take heart, I have overcome the world, even though in this world you're going to find troubles and tribulation. So that just gave me peace. And hearing him say that, you know, through Scripture and during my prayer time really helped. And as we were talking about this topic just now, it made me think about a time when I was working on staff at Caswell, had a really good Sunday night devotion one night where, you know, we were thinking about all the stuff that we were carrying around with, the stuff that we didn't have to carry around with. It's kind of like what I did with y'all at Caswell this past year where you wrote something on a seashell and threw it in the water.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Instead this time we wrote it on a piece of paper and threw it in a fire, which was really cool to
Ooh,
do.
Yeah.
And, this one girl, I just, she was sitting by herself and crying afterwards. And, I just went over to talk to her just kind of cause I felt like somebody need to go talk to her. And so
right.
I was just kind of talking to her, kind of feeling things out. And she said, you know, I've been carrying all this stuff around with me and I felt like it defined who I was. And now I just feel all alone. I said, well, first off, you have never been alone, you know.
Right.
And I give full credit to the Holy Spirit using me. This was not my words at all. You know, I left there going, how did I know how to say that?
Right.
But I was, you've never been alone. She said, you know, I just feel like I'm in a hole. I said, well, you know, sometimes God puts us in a hole, so there's nowhere else to look but up. His hand, you know, reaching down to pull us up. His hand's always reaching down. Sometimes we just get so consumed about things around us that we don't see it. And then sometimes he's like, all right, let's put you at rock bottom so you can see me and see that I'm here, like just like I always been. And that's what I told her that night. And so, you know, you may have lost your job. Your parents may have lost their job. You may have had a significant other break up with you. All this stuff just pile up, you know, just bad stuff after bad stuff. Somebody may have gotten sick in your family. Somebody may have passed away in your family. God hasn't left you at all. God's still there holding his hand out saying, come with me. This stuff, some of it might stick with you, but I will be glorified through this no matter what.
All right. And on that note, we will be right back with some sports. Hey everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available if you just want to talk to somebody. If you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
All right. Hope y'all enjoyed that Devo. But now it is. I'm checking my watch. Oh, yes, it is sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score. I was a little bit behind on that one, but hey, we're getting better.
Not bad for being a week off from it, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you going to start out with baseball or NBA this time?
I'm going to start out with some baseball this time because, you know, I'm a baseball guy. And plus, it is the last week of the Major League Baseball regular season.
Yes, it is.
And it's kind of funny because in one of the first episodes of the podcast, we were talking about how
if there would be a baseball season. That's right.
Right, for sure.
I know that my Atlanta Braves, their magic number is 2 now because they won last night. So they got the Marlins again tonight.
Yes.
I think there's a 3-game series on the Braves.
It's
3-game series, Marlins and Braves, I think.
I think last time I checked the schedule, there's 3 games against Miami, and then you're playing my Boston Red Sox to end the season.
Well, then basically we can just sweep the Marlins, and then we don't even have to show up at y'all's games, right?
Okay, well, you at least have to show up. You at least have to try.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just throw it underhand to you then.
Okay.
Either way, 2 more wins. We clinched the East, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm all for that.
Yes.
So, what you got else besides baseball?
All right, so...
Not besides baseball, along with baseball. I'm so sorry.
Right. I understood what you were trying to say for a split second there. I thought you were trying to, like, get me to stop talking about baseball so we can move on.
No. My bad.
No. It's all good. But anyway... it's the last week of the regular season for the MLB, and there have been already a lot of teams that have already either clinched their division or clinched a postseason place in the playoffs this year. And unfortunately, my Boston Red Sox are not one of them. We have one of the worst records in the league, which I'm not going to talk about that anymore. But anyway, so for the American League East, the Rays and Yankees have both clinched playoff spots. So have the Chicago White Sox and the Twins. Both of them clinched their postseason spots this past weekend too, as well as the Oakland Athletics. And Neil, if the season were to end today, it would be the Cleveland Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays would make up the other two new wild card teams that they would have for the American League. If the season were to end today, as of Tuesday.
So if that were the case, three out of the four AL East teams would be in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's impressive for one division.
You mean three out of five, right?
Three out of five. Excuse me. I forget.
I was about to say, how about my team? You forgot we existed?
No, I didn't forget about Boston. I always forget about Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore, yeah.
I mean, the Braves were playing the Orioles the other night, and I was like, oh, yeah, Baltimore is a team. I'd forget every single year. It never you know, goes away. I'm like, oh, yeah, Baltimore does have a baseball team. But based off what you said, sounds like your prediction before the season started about the Athletics.
Athletics clinched the American League West last night. So my prediction was correct.
So there you go. That's
so
awesome.
I was correct. So I was at least correct in one prediction I have for this season, if not any of the rest. I did say on this podcast, I don't know which episode it was, but you can go back and listen to it. And I said that Oakland was going to win the American League West this year, and I was right about that.
I'm pretty sure it's the same episode I said Acuna would hit 40 home runs this year.
I think you – and then you changed it to 30, and then he's hit, what, like 14?
I should have said that Adam Duvall would be able to hit a home run almost every time he swings the bat because,
yeah.
I mean, there was one time where he went a whole two at-bats without hitting a home run. And
oh, I know.
Sudden, I mean, he's just put on a slugfest by himself.
Well, trust me, Neil, that series against the Boston Red Sox definitely helped his numbers because he hit like four home runs in the series.
Yes, he did.
Because he hit like four home runs in that series against the Boston Red Sox. So that definitely padded his numbers a little bit.
What's the gap between the, you said, the Yankees and the Rays? What's the gap between there for the division title?
All right, so the Rays are up by 4.5 games.
Okay.
So basically the Rays have clinched the American League East unless they just somehow lose everything and the Yankees win everything. Basically, the Rays have clinched the American League East title. As far as the American League Central, it's 1.5 games separates the White Sox and Twins for first and second place. Even though both of them are in the playoffs, there's still a determining factor as to which one will be the higher seed or not, which is very important for this year's playoffs because seeds 1 through 4 will have home field advantage in the wild card series with a new format, but there won't be going back and forth.
3-game series in the wild card series.
Yes.
Which is awesome. I love that. I think that's really cool.
Oh, right, for sure. I mean, because like that was always one complaint that I had about the playoff format the way it was, you know, like the way it was before, you know, with 5 teams per league, you know, was that, you know, seeds 4 and 5 under normal playoff circumstances, you know, before this season, they would play a 1-game wild card. So it's like you battle all this way to play one game.
And
I always thought it should have been a 3-game series.
Which is so daggum stressful to watch as a fan.
Oh, I know. Because it's like you've been waiting like 6 months for this one game. And if you lose the game, your season's literally over, as was the case with the Nationals and the Brewers. The Brewers' season ended, and then obviously the Nationals ended up being the World Series champs.
Right.
So it's like one game could literally change, which is funny because in that wild card game last year, the Brewers were actually ahead, mm-hmm. and the Nationals had to come back and win that game.
Yep.
So, but like, here's the thing. If that's a 3-game series,
who knows?
Who knows what would have happened? You know, so it's like, so as far as all the changes that happened this season, I wasn't a fan of all of them, but I was a fan of the playoff format that they chose to have this year.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was a fan of that. But honestly, you know, but Neil, honestly, I wouldn't mind if they were either keep it the way it is, but if not, they go back to the regular format, but at least have the wild card teams play 3-game series instead of 1 game, because I think that would make it a lot more fun. Well, plus you would have more fans in the stands, assuming that everything will be back to normal by next season.
Exactly.
So. I mean, like you have more games, 2 more games possibly, so you have more fans in the stands, you can, you know, like make more money.
A little more money,
You make a little bit more money, so you never know. Now, as far as the National League standings goes, like you said, the Braves are 4 games out of Miami. Their magic number is 2, so they've basically clinched the division. If they can win 2 more games against Miami out of their last 3, then they will clinch the National League East. I just about said American League East for some reason. And then
Before you keep going,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it crazy that the Marlins are 2nd place in the East?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
it is absolutely nuts.
One of my buddies, Boone, he's a big Phillies fan, and you know, I like talking junk about our sports teams with all my buddies and all that, but eventually when they just get into a rut, it's not even fun to talk junk because they're just sad, you know?
Oh,
it's
I was surprised that the Phillies didn't do as well as this year's everyone predicted. I really was surprised.
That was sad to see, for sure.
But the good news for the Phillies is that as of right now, they are only 1 game behind Miami, so if the Braves can keep on playing against Miami like they did on Monday night. And if the Phillies can kind of come back in their series, the Phillies may not the Marlins or take the Marlins' place in the playoffs. So,
oh, wow. So maybe,
you don't
so,
ever know.
So maybe we don't need to win these games because I don't want to see Bryce Harper in the playoffs regardless of
right.
what seed they are.
Right. I don't blame you there. But anyway, as far as the National League goes, there have only been two teams that have officially clinched postseason spots, and that's the Dodgers and the Padres. Both of them officially clinched their playoff spots. But basically, all the rest of the teams are mathematically still up in the air. But obviously, the Braves are looking like they're going to clinch their division. The Cubs look like they're going to clinch their division. And then basically, all the rest would just kind of fall from there. But if the season were to end today, it would be the Reds and the Phillies would be the 7 and 8 seeds going into the wild card. So the Phillies are in the playoffs right now, but it's a matter of they will be able to rise to a higher seed.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool deal.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So that's basically all I got for baseball. There's your kind of baseball updates. Obviously, this podcast will come out a couple days later, so things may be looking a little bit different going into it. But this is the last week of the MLB regular season. I'm looking forward to the Red Sox season finale against Atlanta. I think it only came right that both of our teams managed to play each other at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it only came as fair. I just hope we can actually win a game in that series this time.
I'll call the guys. I'll see if we can give you one.
Okay. That sounds good.
I just have Freddie Freeman on speed dial. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you do. All right. So, NBA playoffs. There's a little bit of change in the schedule. The NBA kind of changed up the schedule for the Eastern Conference Finals. But anyway, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. I said in the last episode the Clippers were going to win, and they blew it.
Which I think everybody said the Clippers would win this.
Yeah, and they blew a 3-1 lead. Going back to kind of makes me think of the Cleveland Indians back in the 2000
in the World Series
in 2016 when they blew their
this
lead.
This is the second 3-1 lead that the Nuggets came back in this same playoffs.
Yeah, in the same playoffs because they were down 3-1 against the Jazz, and they came back and won that series.
Right.
And, you know, and that was a really impressive series in itself.
They're on pace of doing that again, but they have to win one game. They're down 2-0 right now to the Lakers.
Yes. They are down 2-0 to the Lakers. But me personally, I say the Lakers win the series and go on to the finals. Although if the Nuggets do it again, Neil, here's the thing. If the Nuggets make it to the finals, I will say they will lose again in the finals because then they'll win.
Then they'll win.
You know, because then they'll win. Because every time I say the Nuggets won't advance, they do. So I'm going to say that the Lakers are going to advance because then the Nuggets will. So
I'm
just going to go at it like that.
There you go. I think I think they play tonight being Tuesday.
Yes.
If they make it 3-0, it's going to be really hard to come back from.
Oh, I know.
Just because when the game that they went up 2-0 in, when you have Anthony Davis nailing threes in a clutch moment like that,
yeah,
that's when you know, okay, this team's just better than us. You
right,
know? And
for
people
sure.
are all over Plumlee for not playing defense. But, I mean, in that situation, who expects Anthony Davis to be shooting the three in that situation?
Absolutely no
I
one.
I didn't. I know you
I
didn't.
I was about to say, here's the thing. I mean, like, who's going to think a guy who's 7'3" is going to pull up and shoot a
three-pointer? Right, and I know he can shoot threes, but I've never seen him shoot one in that type of game situation.
Right.
Know? So nobody saw that coming. So when they're hitting shots like that, and if they continue to hit shots like that tonight and go up 3-0, yeah, just go ahead and write the Lakers, pencil them in.
Yeah, for sure. And the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, it is right now 2-1 Heat, which I was not really expecting. I mean, like, I know the Heat are a good team, but I honestly thought that the Celtics would have an advantage in the series so far, not the Heat.
Dare I say the Heat are on fire?
Ha, ha, ha. I see what
you're
doing.
They've only lost 2 games in the playoffs.
Right.
That's insane.
That's nuts.
Especially with them not being a 1 or 2 seed.
Oh,
they swept
for sure.
The Pacers. They lost 1 game to the Bucks.
What's crazy about the Heat is they've pretty much been the underdog in basically every series they play. I mean, well, like, you could argue that they were a better team against the Pacers, but really ever since then, they've been the team that no one's been expecting to do anything compared to the other teams they were facing so far in this playoffs, which is the same thing that the Denver Nuggets were. What would be kind of hilarious, I don't think it's going to happen, but what would be hilarious is if it was a Nuggets versus Heat.
Yeah,
finals.
That'd be crazy.
Like, no one would have predicted
no
that.
No one would see that.
No one would have predicted
maybe,
that.
Maybe, and this is not a gambling podcast, nowhere close to it at all.
No.
But there may be some Billy Bob that lives out in the desert in Nevada that rode down to Las Vegas and put $1 on the Nuggets winning the NBA Finals, and he might be rich if that happens. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Hey.
Who knows? I'm not condoning gambling. I'm just saying there's a chance that's possible.
For sure.
That's
you
all.
Never know. But if you ask me, I say the Lakers beat the Nuggets and go on. And if you ask me also, I say that the Celtics are going to come back.
Did you say Nuggets beat the Lakers?
No.
Oh, okay, just making sure.
I say Lakers are going to win against the Nuggets, and I say that the Celtics are going to come back and beat the Heat. Wow, that kind of came off as kind of cool. And go on to the finals to play in a classic Lakers versus Celtics series. Right. Although, you never know. I guess we'll have to find that out.
We'll see.
All right, Neil, that's all I got for sports this week. How about you? What do you
got? Awesome. Yeah, I'll really quickly go down the Bristol race. I've already mentioned that Kevin Harvick did win the race. That is his 9th win of the season, including regular season and playoffs together. That's his 9th win. If he wins a 10th race, which there's 7 more races this season in the playoffs, so there's a good chance he can win number 10. That'll be the first time since Jimmy Johnson did it back in, I believe, 2007.
Really?
For 10 wins in a season.
Wow.
Especially at his age. He's 44 years old.
Wow, that's
which
insane.
Age doesn't matter as much in NASCAR as it does other sports, because that car doesn't know how old the driver is, you know?
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he has the most wins at the age of 44 and up since not Richard Petty, Lee Petty, Richard's dad.
Wow. Wow, that's going back a long ways.
That's over 60 years ago. But Kyle Busch almost won this race.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch had a really good run on Harvick, even had the lead on Harvick for a really good while. And then Harvick took back the lead from Busch. I can't even remember how many laps were left. It was so intense at that race. And this was the least cautioned Bristol race in like 20 years. There's only 5 cautions.
Oh, wow.
Which is surprising, which I thought there were plenty of cautions at this race, but apparently there's been a whole lot more. And but I think since it was a playoff race, the drivers were just trying so hard not to wreck. You know,
right,
they were just trying
course.
To get as many points as possible and not take each other out. But Busch ended up finishing 2nd, Kyle Busch did, and he was mad. Usually, Kyle Busch hates losing more than he likes winning. He really does. People don't care much for Kyle Busch because of his attitude. He's just a very intense competitor. My buddy James, he's almost like a real-life Ricky Bobby, where if you ain't first, you last kind of deal.
Yeah.
But he had a really good run on Harvick to try to take the lead going into turn 2. And Joey Logano, who was 3 laps down at the time, got in Kyle Busch's way and blocked him from passing Harvick. And Harvick just kept on going.
And Harvick just kept on going because
Busch live it. Now, he still finished 2nd, but he had the line to pass him. Like I told you, I said, he's about to pass him, which I had to kind of scream at James because it's so loud. He's about to pass him. But he got blocked. And I said, he got blocked by Logano, you know. And I just figured since Logano's a Ford and Harvick's a Ford, they're not teammates. They just have the same manufacturer.
Right.
And maybe that was planned. Doesn't sound planned at all. Busch was saying that's why Logano doesn't have any friends, yada, yada, yada. He was mad at these other cars that were like 5-6 laps down that were getting in the way. There's no getting out of the way at Bristol, okay?
No.
You're going 120, 130 miles an hour around a half-mile oval that's made of concrete. You're not just getting out of the way, okay? There's not much room to get out of the way. But Harvick won 9th win of the year. That was the cutoff race for the round of 16. We're in the round of 12 now. I know Cole Custer, Matt DiBenedetto, and William Byron and somebody else were cut out of didn't make
right.
the cut. So now the next sequence of the round of 12, we're going to Vegas this week.
Vegas.
Then we're going to Talladega for a restrictor plate race, which, you know, anything can happen there. And then we close out the round of 12. The cutoff race is at the Bank of America 400, which is the Roval course at Charlotte, which is the half oval, half road course.
Yes.
Which anything can happen
Roval. For
sure. We've seen that over the years. So, Ryan Blaney didn't make it. That was the 4th guy who really, if you'd have told me a few months ago that Ryan Blaney wouldn't make the round of 12, I'd have told you were crazy just because he's been driving so good. But that I was planning for that to be my only NASCAR news for today until last night.
Until last night?
Cody, did you ever think that you would hear the words Michael Jordan and NASCAR in the same sentence?
I'm pretty sure the only time that I think I would ever hear that is probably something about how Michael Jordan couldn't fit in a NASCAR car.
Maybe. Maybe so. But this is breaking news last night. You may not have heard it yet, but Michael Jordan has entered the NASCAR Cup Series as a team owner.
Yes,
him
yes.
and Denny Hamlin are creating a racing team, and they have hired Bubba Wallace as their driver. They're going to be running a one-car cup team next year. So it's not – a lot of new teams usually start a truck series, start an Xfinity series, which used to be the Busch series back in the day. They're starting in the cup series.
Right.
Okay? That is big time news.
Oh, dude. I know. I was about to say, you're just going all the way up to the top.
Yeah. And, you know, people have their opinions on Bubba Wallace. This is a really big opportunity for Bubba Wallace.
Oh, I know. It's okay? Huge.
You know, he has been with Richard Petty Motorsports for, I want to say, 3 years, maybe four. I can't remember right off. And he's not a bad driver.
No.
Richard Petty's Motorsports, they have a very limited budget, and they don't have the best of equipment. They kind of get second and third hand stuff off of the higher teams. And so he's running, you know, cheaper equipment, not as fast equipment. So when you have people like Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin, who will still continue the race for Joe Gibbs, okay?
Right.
So you have that connection to Joe Gibbs to get Toyota technology in your race team, so which means more than likely they're going to be racing Toyota. I don't see why Denny Hamlin would drive a Toyota and have association with the team with another manufacturer. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
But, you know, this is still all the little details are still to be worked out, you know. Bubba Wallace is bringing a ton of sponsorship over. I know he's got McDonald's. I know he's got the Cash App. He's got a lot of sponsorship that he can bring over. Not only that, they can throw the Jumpman on a car. You know how sick it would be to have a Jordan brand race car?
That would look so awesome.
Which is really ironic because I found this stat today during my lunch break on Twitter. So I believe it was in 2016, Denny Hamlin drove in a truck series race. He drove a Jordan brand Toyota truck in the truck series, okay?
That's cool.
And Bubba Wallace won that truck race. So all those three were tied in that moment.
They were all tied in that one race.
And didn't realize that come in 2020 that they will all come together to have a race team of their own. So that's really cool to see.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's really cool.
So it would be awesome to see if they do a Jordan brand car, but even cooler if they make it the 23 car. You know, that would be cool to see, too, because there's not a 23 car in the Cup Series right now that I can think of. But that's really exciting. Plus, it makes perfect sense, Cody, as to why Michael Jordan would do Toyota over the other manufacturers. You know why?
Why?
Because whether it's on the basketball court or whether it's in an engine, Michael Jordan still cannot stand Pistons from Michigan.
That's the second joke.
That one's pretty good.
Yes.
He still can't stand the Pistons from Michigan, so he has to go out and get an import car.
He has to get an import, yeah.
There you go. But, I mean, y'all need to pay attention to these NASCAR free agency things.
That's going to be awesome.
This stuff is electric. So we had Bubba Wallace signing with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. We have Clint Bowyer is a free agent as of right now. Eric Jones is a free agent. We have one team, Jermaine Racing. They're shutting down. So Ty Dillon's looking for a ride. So all this stuff. And, you know, the big free agent, of course, was Bubba Wallace. So once Bubba Wallace got signed, all these other guys are going to really fall into place. So the next big question I have is who's going to take Jimmy Johnson's spot in the 48 car.
Right.
I think there's a good chance it might be Kyle Larson. You know, he had a really big controversy earlier in the year where he knocked him out of NASCAR.
Yeah.
So if he gets that chance to get back into NASCAR, who knows?
Yeah,
he
who
might
knows?
Take that. But if Clint Bowyer gets kicked out of his ride at Stuart Haas, you know, Rick Hendrick says he wants a seasoned veteran. So why not Clint Bowyer?
Why not?
I don't know. We'll see. But it was a very, very monumental week of NASCAR news, not a race. But
that's cool.
Let's get to our next topic, Cody, as we're getting ready to close out the show and everything like that.
All right.
We had a lot of injuries in the NFL this past
Yes,
week.
We did. We had a ton.
It was almost depressing to see how many people got hurt.
Oh, I know.
Just going down the list, of course, we know Christian McCaffrey.
Hurt.
He's out for at least 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
At least 4 weeks, so say that's four games. So he won't be back to week seven.
Right.
I mean, like week seven at the very earliest.
Exactly.
So
Saquon Barkley is out for the year.
Yeah, I know. He tore his ACL. Yeah, I know. That's big for the Giants.
So did Nick Bosa. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, man.
I know that Jimmy Garoppolo had an injury. I don't know. I'm sure he'll be out for at least a week.
Well, I don't think that's going to be a big of a change for the 49ers because I don't think their backup's going to be
true. Very true.
I mean, by compared to Jimmy G, it's not they're going to have that big of a drop-off.
I'm sorry,
Jimmy G. I had to kind of roast you there.
I could see why you say it. But they also had two of the running backs go down to that game.
Yeah.
So not only – I mean, they waxed the Jets, but it cost them everything, you know?
Yeah, it cost them so much. It cost them their – You know, like it cost them a huge big player on defense, their starting quarterback and two running backs.
It's kind of like that meme that you see that little girl talking to Thanos, and the girl says, she said, did you beat the Jets? And Thanos says, yes. Well, what did it cost? Everything.
So, everything.
I mean, I hate somebody got hurt, but I did find that meme pretty funny.
Yes.
But, you know, you had Drew Locke, the quarterback for the Broncos. He goes down.
Yeah,
and
that's
as of today, that's the Broncos signed Blake Bortles. So this is a chance for Blake Bortles to shine after he got, you know, he was the quarterback with the Jaguars,
yeah.
Took the Jaguars to an AFC
championship game. Yeah,
they ended up being the backup for Jared Goff in Los Angeles, and then got cut before this season. So he has a chance to go out and show, you know, maybe if it's not with the Broncos, it could be with somebody else.
Right, absolutely.
You know? But this was a really good year to see if Drew Locke was going to be that franchise guy. You know, because ever since Peyton Manning retired from the Broncos, John Elway has gone through a grocery list of quarterbacks.
Oh, I know. So it's been like a quarterback factory ever since Peyton Manning
retired.
Second
Cleveland Browns over there or something like that. But it's, you know, it brings up the question, you know, people say here and there, we don't need the preseason. We don't need that. Let's just play football. We need the preseason.
Yes.
At the very
preseason,
least.
Preseason for football, basketball, baseball, really any sport, super important because you got to establish these guys. And at least if they get injured, it's not going to affect regular season time.
Exactly. At the very least, have two preseason games.
Oh, yeah. At
Keep
least.
Your mini camp the same. You need that mini camp. You need that time to get in shape and get conditioned. And then at the very least, I'm still fine with four.
Oh, yeah, same
but
here.
At the very least, have two preseason games. The preseason, you know, it's the fans that complain about the preseason. I'm sorry, I'm a fan. I know there's a lot of fans. Preseason ain't about y'all. Not
no.
one bit. They get y'all's money out of it, you know,
because yeah, exactly.
you go to the game. Preseason ain't about y'all one bit, okay?
No.
You get to be part of an experiment for the regular season. We need the preseason, and we're seeing why. Now, preseason was taken away because of, you know, unforeseen circumstances. But,
right.
you know, everybody was saying, well, if they do well, maybe they won't do it next year. Yeah, they need to do it next year.
Yeah, they need to do
but,
it next year.
You know, the next question that brings up according to, with the Panthers, you know, by week 7, do they even let McCaffrey play? You know, at the
yeah.
way at the rate they're playing, I'm not saying they're a terrible team, but they have just not good execution right now.
Oh, I know.
It's not this. The coaching has had its moments.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the coaching's definitely had its moments with the Panthers, like in week 1 when they gave the ball to Alex Arma
right.
in that fourth down situation. And then when you had it and
don't
then,
get me started on that fake punt on Sunday.
I wasn't going to mention the fake punt, but they had the fake punt. But, Neil, here's the thing. On the down before that, when McCaffrey was not injured, they Mike Davis on third down. I'm like, you're giving the ball to Mike Davis on third down in what, like 2?
Well, you're going to be seeing a lot of that for the next 4 to 6 weeks, by the way.
Sure, but like, I'm like, dude, at least have McCaffrey on the field. I'm not saying you got to give the ball to him, but at least have him on the field just at least to get the defense thinking about him. I mean, like on that play, if McCaffrey's not on the field, you're like, okay, he's either going to throw it or they're going to give it for some reason, give it to the guy who's already played and he's not going to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent's there in some aspects.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The coaching has had its moments. I think the really big, I don't want to say failure, but the really big drawback for the Panthers right now is execution.
Yes.
That's a really big drawback right now. Now, your guy is out for at least a month. You need to take advantage of defenses not knowing what in the world you're going to do when you don't have CMC out there, okay?
Right.
So, you know, take your chances when you play the Chargers this week. You got a long stretch of games to kind of figure this out. But what I was saying earlier, if the Panthers are 0-7 by the time McCaffrey comes back, do you want to play? But I heard that question a lot on the radio today. Do we even play McCaffrey when he's healthy? We don't need to answer that question right now. We need to see where we are once he comes back to see about that.
Right.
But that's a topic we can get on in coming weeks. So
that's all right.
Let's make some picks, Cody.
Let's make some picks.
So for y'all that are listening, you know, the past couple weeks we've picked every single game. It's just an excitement for it, football being back.
Yes.
But picking 16 games
that
per
took a lot of time.
Takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of air time, and it takes a while for y'all have to sit there and listen to us go through every single game.
Yes.
So we came up with this little point system. Since, you know, I'm on a NASCAR craze, I'm all about point systems right now anyway. But we came up with a little point systems to have a little friendly competition from here on out, and it'd be easier to keep up with points this way.
Yes.
So each week, Cody and I are going to pick the 3 primetime games, being Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, and Monday Night Football.
Are you ready for some football?
You could take Hank Jr.'s spot,
thank you.
Cody. That's really good. So we're going to pick all 3 primetime games. And when we pick those games, if we pick them correctly, we get 1 point. All right. And then from there on out, we pick one random game on a Sunday. One, and it doesn't have to mean have any meaning, just one random game.
Right.
If we pick our random game correctly, that's 2 points. Okay.
Right.
And then as a complete wild card, kind of like a lottery almost, we're going to pick one game that we could see ending in a tie.
Yeah.
And if it does end in a tie, we get 5 points. Okay. Ooh. So that's an ultra rare, like an achievement on Xbox Live or something like that, or finding a treasure in the back of Mount Rushmore like they did on National Treasure 2, which is not there, so don't go looking for it.
Aw.
But just something fun.
Right.
So Cody, let's go down the list of the 3 1-point games.
All right.
This week. So Thursday night we have the Miami Dolphins taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right.
Cody, go.
I got Minshew Mania, baby. I got Minshew Mania and the Jaguars winning this week. And here's the thing, Neil. This is going to be one of my rare picks for the Jaguars this season, but after watching them play earlier in the season, at least for the first couple games, they definitely exceeded my expectations, which were, of course, very low. But they played better than I thought they would. And, well, plus, here's the thing. It's Miami. I'm not saying Miami's not good, because really neither team is that great compared to other teams in the NFL. But I am on the bandwagon of the Jaguars for this week, so I'm going to pick them against Miami.
Yeah, I have no reason to pick the Dolphins this week. I hadn't seen anything from them in the past 2 weeks to say,
no.
Let's pick them on Thursday night against the
Ryan
Jaguars.
Ryan Fitzmagic?
Why? Just go ahead and play Tua. Seriously.
I know, exactly.
He's okay. He's a better backup than he is a starter, okay?
Yes.
But go ahead and play Tua. If I find out Tua's playing Thursday night, I may have to say, hold on, I might switch. No, I'm not going to switch my pick. I'm going to go with the Jaguars on Thursday night as well. Sunday night football, we have the Green Bay Packers going up against the newly 1-1 Saints, who
lost
to the Vegas Raiders on Monday night football. Cody, I'm going with Green Bay in this game.
Okay, really? You're going with Green Bay in this game?
I'm going with Green Bay. I think the Raiders kind of showed the weaknesses of the Saints. I don't see any reason why the Packers won't execute well in this game. I know they kind of had to fight from behind against the Lions last Sunday. They were down, I believe, 13-3 or something like that. But, I mean, they ended up putting 42 on them. Okay?
Right.
I don't see any reason why that Rodgers won't continue this hot streak. This will be his first real test against the defense, which everybody thought his first test would be against the Vikings defense.
Yeah.
And just torched
and
them.
It was so definitely not a test.
If that's the case with the Saints, I think they can take care of that. Plus, Drew Brees is kind of worrying some people.
I know.
He didn't play too.
He's not playing as consistently.
They beat the Bucks, but that second half for him didn't look too great, and he did not play very well last night, being Monday night, which, I mean, he was missing Michael Thomas, but he's throwing a whole lot more checkdowns than he used to. He's only averaging like 4 yards of completion, so it kind of, worries you. It's a tide kind of shifting there in New Orleans. So I'm going Packers, and you're going
– I'm going Saints
going
in this
Saints
one.
You're going Saints in this one.
I'm going Saints. Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm going Saints. I completely understand your points that you made about Drew Brees and the Saints, Drew Brees and the Saints defense. I completely understand those points. But it's like you said, this is going to be a test for Aaron Rodgers, and I personally think the Saints defense is going to put up a little bit more of a challenge than the Vikings defense. Well, Neil, plus here's the thing. It helps that the Packers played the Vikings 2 times a season. You can kind of get a little bit more.
Sure.
It's like you can watch them play against divisional opponents too. So you would see them and kind of maybe recognize their weaknesses more often than you would just be playing a team that you play once every 4 years or once every couple years.
Right.
Once every couple years. But plus two, here's the thing. If I'm on the Saints, I'm saying, okay, we just lost to a team that no one think we were going to lose to. So this is a good opportunity for us to bounce back and show that we are who people think we should be.
Okay.
And come back, play hard, and beat a pretty good Packer team. So I'm going Saints this week.
Awesome. All right. There we go. And as we close out the 1-pointer games for this podcast game, Monday night, Chiefs versus Ravens.
Okay.
Cody, go.
Okay, this one was really hard for me to pick.
It's a hard one,
because
isn't it?
Both these teams are super good. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, Neil. If I didn't have to choose this, if I had to choose, this would have honestly been the game I would have chosen for my tie, just because both teams are so good. But I'm going Baltimore in this one.
So am I.
I'm going Baltimore because I think Baltimore can upset Kansas City. Because here's the thing. Out of all the teams that were in the playoffs last year, if Baltimore hadn't gotten knocked out in the first round, I genuinely believe that if they had gotten to play the Chiefs, they would have the best chance of beating them last year in the playoffs.
Well, according to the odds, Baltimore's not an underdog. They're a 3.5-point favorite.
Right. Right. And obviously for the Chiefs, that's not in a position that they're really used to being in here recently. So obviously it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for them. But I think that, you know, because here's the thing. Baltimore is the most unique team in the NFL because you never know how they're going to come at you. Will it be a give to the running back? Will it be a keeper for Lamar Jackson? Or will it be a 50-yard pass to one of his wide receivers? Like, you don't know how Baltimore's offense is going to attack you. And I know the Chiefs' defense is really good, but Baltimore's is really good too. Okay, you know, but here's the thing. Like, I'm not saying the Chiefs' defense is bad, and I'm not saying the Chiefs as a team are bad. I mean, obviously, they won the Super Bowl last year, so they can't be too bad. You know, I mean, like, I understand it's the next season, things are a little different.
Yeah.
But Baltimore is such a unique team in the NFL, and teams that don't play them as often don't know how to game plan against them. Plus, as far as just a matchup, this is one of the best matchups you're going to see all season. So I'm picking Baltimore to win this game, but I was hoping for a really good matchup between two really good teams from the AFC.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not even going to spend time repeating exactly what you just said because I'm picking Baltimore for the same exact reasons. So I'm going to go ahead and pick my random winner for my two-pointer.
All right.
And I'm going to go ahead and pick my tie for my potential five-pointer. So my two-pointer pick this week is in the Cowboys and Seahawks game. I'm going to pick the Seahawks in this game.
Okay.
The Seahawks played a shootout with the Patriots on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Man, did Cam Newton look great with New England, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
But the Seahawks were just a little bit better, in every little aspect. I feel like the Seahawks have about 14 Lockett receivers out there. He was all over the field.
Oh, I know.
You know, and Russell Wilson just doing Russell Wilson things. They're letting him throw the ball. You know, it's just really cool for him to see. But I'm picking Seahawks in this over the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys, you know, they had that hilarious
game. About them Cowboys?
Now, hold on, you're scaring me. You're scaring your dog over there, too. Hold on a second. Yeah, they won one game. You know, they didn't win the Super Bowl. But if you ask Cowboys fans, they basically
they
won
were
the Super
down
Bowl.
9 points with 2 minutes left, and they won the game. You got to give them at least a little bit.
I'm giving them a little bit of credit, but I'm giving the Falcons more credit for just being the Falcons in that situation.
Yeah,
by the way,
true.
The Falcons had a fan write them and resigned as a fan. He wrote them a letter and said, "I'm resigning as a fan for not only losing 28-3, blowing that 28-3 lead in Super Bowl, but being up 30-9 or something like that, and losing that game." The Falcons, and I'm getting off tangent for just a little bit, the Falcons are the first team in NFL history to score 39 points, have zero turnovers, and lose the game. First time ever that happened. Somebody pulled up a stat that in those situations, the teams was like 422-0. And now there's the one is the Atlanta
and
Falcons.
And then the one is the Atlanta Falcons.
But
that just kind of makes sense.
I'm picking the Seahawks as my two-pointer over the Cowboys.
All right.
And as my potential tie for my five-pointer, I'm picking the Bengals and the Eagles to tie.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
No hate on either team. Both kind of struggling, both trying to figure out who they are as a team. Randomly just going down the line. Philadelphia is a touchdown favorite in this game, but I think out of all the matchups, Bengals and Eagles have the best chance to tie. So, Cody, give me your two-pointer and your five-pointer before we send these people on their merry little ways.
All right. So, my two-point game, my random game for the week is going to be the Lions and Cardinals. I know it's probably not the most, you know, like popular or exciting game, but I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win the game. I mean, obviously, it kind of makes sense why I would pick the Cardinals because the Lions have had two big leads that they blew. I mean, so like from a choosing standpoint, it's not that great, but I do think the Lions can make the game competitive because the Cardinals are, I mean, what Cardinals have won their first two games, but you can definitely see how they would not win a game.
This was a week one matchup last year that ended in a tie, by the way.
Right, for sure. I don't know why I didn't choose it for the tie then. But anyway, I mean, but I think that the Cardinals have a better team than Detroit. But overall, I just see this being a really competitive game between both those teams because both teams are kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum because the Cardinals are a very young team. They're trying to figure out who they are. And the Lions are very veteran-oriented. I mean, You know, but their starting quarterback's been in the NFL since like 2009, and their starting running back's been in the NFL since like 2006. You know, so like their main guys have been in the NFL a long time. The main guys on the Cardinals, not so much. But it's two teams really trying to figure out who they are as teams. Now, obviously, the Cardinals are doing a little bit better, but I still think they're trying to figure out who what their identity is. I mean, obviously, they got DeAndre Hopkins, so that helps. But still, I think the Lions are going to make it more so competitive compared to the first two games they played, because you got to think both those games were against divisional opponents. So that kind of helps the other teams too. Like, it kind of balances itself out. But in this game, it's not a divisional opponent. So I can see how maybe both teams are going to be a little bit more competitive than they maybe would be against a divisional team.
Gotcha.
So, but I'm going Cardinals in this one. And then my tie, I'm going to pick the Chicago Bears and the Atlanta Falcons. I know the Falcons, blew their lead, but I know the Falcons literally blew their lead. So that's why I could literally see the Falcons pulling it again next week and doing that. That's literally the only reason why I picked the tie, because I know it's a 5-point, it's kind of like a shot in the dark, but I'm going to be honest with you, Neil. That is literally the only reason why I picked the Falcons and Bears, because the Falcons blew their lead last week.
And that's the only reason that you need. You know, it's going to be a long kind of interesting learning season for me as a Panthers fan. So at least I get joy out of watching the Falcons continue to be the Falcons and the Saints go on the road to Vegas and just get whooped. You know, so as long as I can sometimes see my division rivals get beat, that's going to bring me a little bit of joy. And it's just proof that nature is continuing to heal, that the Falcons are giving up large leads in the games, and especially in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, so this should be an interesting little way of coming up with the picks, and we'll see how the points fare out come next episode.
All right.
But that's all I got for this week, Cody. You got anything else?
I think I'm all right, man. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, you've heard our social media accounts in the show notes below and in the breaks as well. We hope y'all have an awesome week. And go watch some football. We got some even more college football to watch this week. The SEC's coming back. We got the Tennessee Volunteers going down to Columbia to play the South Carolina Chickens, Gamecocks, and a lot of other SEC matchups as well. Y'all have a great week. Go tell somebody about God. Tell them Jesus loves them. Bye.